The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 846. What's going on in the background there? It's the Weekend Podcast. What's going on in the background, Steve? Pete?
It's not me, it's what? Pete.
What?
What is the noise? It felt like a shopping trolley full of coins had just fallen over. Well, it wasn't that bad. It was something you bashed into a shopping trolley or something, you know, some metallic kind of. Who's going to admit to it? Come on. You know, this is the kind of stuff. This is the bit we're recording. This is the bit we're supposed to be good at. Just before
I know it was Pete because I had my microphone muted.
Just before this, we spent 5 minutes trying to get Steve online and saying, what is wrong with it? Why can't they make it simple? And I thought, you don't want it simple. Every week we have this problem. Can you see that? Every week we have a problem, pretty much.
Yes.
And you are the guy that's in charge of technicals. When you're recording show, that's part of your job, being a technical guy. You are the tech guy that people go to. How come you're having issues connected? I speak to like 65-year-old CEOs across the world who never use Skype, but I speak to them fine. Why can't you deal with it?
It's because my system is slightly more technologically advanced than theirs.
Yeah, the trouble is you're working with a brain that isn't technologically advanced. So I'd say technologically advanced. Anyway, let's talk about markets and stuff and macro, micro, everything in between. I'm just wondering what is the next move here between Trump and old Fat Boy. What's his name? Fat Boy Kim. Fat Boy Kim and Trump. And I think it's no coincidence. They both got really odd hairstyles.
Yeah.
I thought psychologically you can judge someone on a really bad hairstyle. If they've got a really bad hairstyle, you think there's something wrong with them because they can't see what's on top of their head. If they can't see what's on top of their head, their judgment is really bad, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. I think it's like a really bad Austin Powers movie.
Yeah. It is a little bit, isn't it? Yeah.
I can't really believe it. It's sort of like, is that really the leader of the free world against this kind of Dr. Evil character?
Fat Boy Kim.
That's him.
Fat Boy Kim. That's a good rap style, Fat Boy Kim. Yeah. All right. Yes. I know. So this is what... Kim says something, didn't he? Fat Boy Kim says something. Donald Trump comes back with... We will rain down upon you with fire and fury, and I tell you what, a heck of a lot of power. Kim goes back with something, or somebody, a representative, says we're going to fire some missiles into Guam, near Guam, which is a American territory with a U.S. military base, and a lot of soldiers live in there. And then I wonder
if Trump even knew where Guam was until this week.
Yeah, no.
What's Guam? What, we own it? Great!
Yeah.
Fire back!
Yeah. Sir, any comments on Guam? I don't like the stuff. Never drink it. Right, yeah. No, it's a territory of ours, Donald. Oh, okay, cool. Now it's down to Fat Boy Kim is going to test his missiles, and he's going to shoot three or four missiles towards Guam. I don't know why. It's like deliberately provocative. Yeah, we're going to shoot them. No, you better not. If you shoot them, you're in big trouble. We're going to test them near your island. You do that, and I'm going to rain down on your fire. We're going to test them for missiles. Come on.
If you're going to go to war with someone, surely the whole idea is the element of surprise. So telling them that they're going to do it, it ruins it a little bit.
If you do it, you're in trouble. We're going to do it.
We're going to drop it in the sea just near you. Just off the coast.
We're going to splash you with water. We're going to put water on your island, splash you with our bombs, like a water bomb. Fat Boy Kim is easy. But I'm just thinking, right, what they should do, essentially, now, and I think this would raise enough money to almost solve world poverty. Pay-per-view, in a cage, the two guys there, dressed up in lycra, wrestling or fighting, any mixed martial arts, you know, who wouldn't pay, would you honestly pay 20 quid to see that? I would love to see that, wouldn't you? And the amount of money they raised there would be off the scale. I just imagine their outfits would be fantastic. They'd train out to each other. I'd love that. I think Trump would go for a bit of boxing, I think, but he's a bit awkward, is he? And I think Fat Boy Kim would go for the grapple a bit more, you know, really grappling in bad areas like armpit hair. Well, I think we're generally quite girly at fighting, you know, quite standoffish, we're scared to get hit, you know, but I think it'd be hilarious to watch. Imagine Trump's hair sweating everywhere, halfway down his face, and that'd be hilarious. And fat boy Kim sweat like a pig after half a round. I'd love to see that. It'd be the worst fight in history, but that would achieve the biggest box office hit, I think. And you could pay off, you know, debt with that. I don't know, I think you'd solve world's problems. I think, because that's what it comes down to. These two guys of ego saying, you know, I've got warheads. We are the most powerful in the world. Donald Trump's there, and he said, "Yeah, but we gonna splash your Guam. I'm gonna splash your Guam."
So here's a question for you. And this is probably me being uneducated, and I probably might be quite obvious, but obviously, people in South Korea are very intelligent, aren't they? Because they've got an amazing education and they work really hard.
And they got LG.
Is that the same in North Korea as well, or is that just South Korea?
No, in North Korea, everyone's terrified of him. Have you ever seen pictures of him with all his military people around him with notepads? They've all got notepads. Yeah, have a look at.
But are they as well educated?
It's dreadful because there's all kinds of trade. What do they call the barriers they put up?
Embargoes.
Yeah, embargo in the jungle.
Who knows what the education system is like, really? But my gut feeling would be, it's just a communist dictatorship. They probably just learn about Kim Jong-un all day, and that's it.
Well, that's kind of good in a way, because if we were going to war with, like, South Korea, like, they're very intelligent. They'll probably beat us on intelligence and stuff like that. So
they must have a fair amount of education, because they, you know, are kind of developing nuclear warheads and stuff. So,
I think they educate them enough to do what Kim does, you know? They educate them enough to know that Kim's the king. He can do anything. He can ride 7 horses at one time. He's super educated. And then I suppose, you know, he tells scientists to study what other countries have done. We want to build a bomb, you know, sort it out, do the research. But I mean, many of them in dire poverty, Steve, you know, poverty line, most of them.
Yeah, I know that.
It's a dreadful situation. And I remember reading, it's worth looking up. Dennis Rodman has been over there. Not many people have been to North Korea. Dennis Rodman, you know, this 6'5" sort of black baseball guy with tattoos and earrings everywhere, is a friend of Kim Jong-un. And he's been over there because Kim Jong-un is a fan of basketball. He's been over there chatting with him, and he said he literally went on an island, he said, the size of Ibiza, that Kim has got. And he said it's very odd, and it's just really odd. And I think if anyone's going to solve the issue here, I think Dennis Rodman, get him in, you know, get him going. Yeah. Even if it comes down to him being the referee of the cage fight.
No, he's not impartial, is he?
Carry it on, I'm going to splash your Guam. And then drop a bomb on and splash all of your Guam. You don't like that. You touch my Guam, and we will go nuts. We are powerful, yeah? Yeah, it's got to be wet Guam. Anyway, let's crack on.
Wet Guam.
Yeah, wet Guam. The moves now. The ball is in Fat Boy Kim's court, isn't it? Because you know he's the guy who's got to send the rockets or something. I don't know if he will. If he will, what's going to happen then? Trump has got to be good with his word, isn't he? It rained down on him, all fire and fury and power. If he doesn't, Kim said, "I didn't do anything. Or mouth. You or mouth. You over there. I dropped my bomb. I wait your Guam. You didn't do nothing." So we'll see what Fat Boy Kim says or does. I soaked your Guam. It's dripping wet from my water bomb. You did nothing, Fat Boy Trump. Trumpy. Oh, silly hair. You can talk. Look at your hair. Someone did a picture the other day on Twitter. Don't you see that? Hair swap. Trump and Fat Boy Kim. Did you see it? It was just genuinely funny because it just looked out, it highlighted how ridiculous their hairstyles were when you put them on other people. People had ridiculous hairstyles. It was worth Googling that if you've got a spare 5-10 minutes.
I might do it now.
anyway, talking about the Far East or over that area, Asia Met Resources. That's a good result, wasn't it? They raised some money. Now, this on Vox Market was liked by a lot of people, an RNS issue of equity. Now, normally, issues of equities isn't, you know, you don't relate that to a lot of likes. But
I saw the RNS come through, and I thought,
I thought that as well. When I saw placing, I thought, oh god, it's going to go, because I thought that was bad news. Again, back to what we always talk about. It needs a good or bad news header on these RNSs.
There are on Vox. It's thumbs up, thumbs down. See, that's what you do. Yes, on the RNS, you can see the bottom of it. On Vox, if you go to the bottom, look at the thumbs up or thumbs downs you get.
No, I tend to start at the top of a document, personally.
Yeah, when the notification comes onto your phone, first of all, that's what I'm talking about.
It's a floating bar, though, so you can see the bar goes up and down. So it's on the screen. Okay. It's on your screen, you know what I'm saying? But, very few RNS has been sent out by any company that's an issue of equity, a placing, basically, that has had a lot of thumbs ups. But, as you know, AsiaMet don't do big discounts. That's one of their trademarks. No. And the reason why this was about 9.3% discount current price is because the share price had risen last couple of days before the placing. So, but it would have been a lot less of a discount to the market price if it hadn't raised over the last. But they've raised £6 million, which is a cracking chunk of change.
Yeah.
And some of the big shareholders have taken AsiaPac and Nameron, I think, bigger chunks, which are all owned by big guys. But also worth noting, JP Morgan have come onto the register. Now, this is before the feasibility study is finished on PKM. And normally you get institutions coming on the back of that, because it's called a bankable feasibility study. That's where you can take it to the bank and say, these are the figures we're going to be doing. This is the kind of cash we're going to be churning out. This is how much we're putting down. This is the return. This is how much it'll take to get back your money back. You know, so a lot of institutions wait for that, you know, but JP Morgan didn't. Now, JP Morgan, one of the biggest asset managers in the world, you know, literally tier one investors, $1.7 trillion. That's nuts. Under assets under management, have now stepped in and invested in AsiaMet Resources. And you've got to say to yourself, well, listen, if they're taking the lead here, other institutional investors have come. And it doesn't only prove how good a project this is, you know, it endorses the management. And I just think from here on in, any weakness in the AsiaMet share price is worth looking at, because you think, well, hang on, this has significantly de-risked it even more now. And it's all about risk and reward. And how little, you know, risk can you get for good reward? You know, that's what you need to do in an investment.
Yeah.
It's not to go for massive risk, massive reward, because, of course, massive risk happens like Provenance Resources. You get a dust on the first drill, it'll go through the floor. Exploration. But all we're doing with AsiaMet here, they know they're a cracking resource there. All they're doing is drilling it out, to proving it up, see how cheap they can get it out of the ground, how cheap it is to convert that into cathode copper, and then sell it off. And as you know, copper is rallying at the moment, so it's looking good. I just think we'll see, you know, as this gets closer to feasibility, maybe after or just before, but as we get closer, I think we'll see other investors taking chunks. So, and you start to notice this. If you see the volume go up and the share price rising on news, it's normally because, you know, institutional investors are trying to get some skin in the game, because obviously they have to come in on a small cap. It'll move the needle when they start buying. So that's a good news. And talking about that, actually, JP Morgan, there aren't many, you know, small companies that have the likes of JP Morgan on the books, you know. Another one worth mentioning, I talked to Jeremy Martin, of the CEO of Horizonte Minerals, on Friday. They've got JP Morgan on there. And in fact, they've got quite a few big, they've got a massive asset. I mean, a tier one, sort of nickel, saprolite. And nickel is going to be used, of course, in batteries and all that stuff. So it's a big area. And they've got JP Morgan on their register as well, which is... and if you look at that, I mean, they are 30 million market cap, Horizonte.
Right.
And they will be generating, when this project starts running, they'll be generating $50 million of free cash flow. That's paying everything off, every year. And so the market cap is only 30 million. And that's just in 2019, 2020, pretty much. So we're now towards the back end of 2017. So in 2 years, they'll be generating that. And they're only 30 million market cap. And that's nuts, isn't it? And they've just announced they've got cash of 5.6 million to take them through feasibility study end of this year and beyond. And once they're through feasibility, you have no problems raising money then, because you're showing how valid the project is, really. So HZM, definitely worth putting on your watch list there. Horizonte, everything we talk about here is pretty much stocks we own.
Have some stocks with them, actually.
You have some stocks with them, do you? Lovely.
Some stocks.
How many stocks do you have with them, Steve? A pair of stocks?
No shares, only stocks.
I have a lovely pair of stocks from Horizonte Minerals. Lovely. Oh, look at my HZM stocks. Do you like them? They match my trainers. they match my loafers. Woo! You bought Horizonte. Do you good? Well, Steve, listen, this is one of these things. It hasn't captured the imagination of private investors like Asia Met has. And I don't understand why. Some stocks do, some stocks don't, you know? But This is another one. Like, what's Asia Met now? I think it's above 30 million, isn't it? 34, yeah. So with a bit more, with that funds coming in play, a bit more than that. So they are now smaller than that. But the life of mine, they've got a tier one asset. And tier one asset means essentially 20 years or more, I think, production. So, you know, Asia Met have got 8 years at the moment. I think they're expanding that, though. But they got 20 years or more producing, I can't remember the actual figures, but I know it'll be generating pretty much profit after tax every year, be 80 million, pretty much. Which is massive, isn't it? Absolutely massive. So, or profit before tax, sorry, is about 80 million. Free cash flow, 50 million a year. So it's massive, you know? And Jerry Martin there is a very shrewd guy. He knows what's happening, and I quite like the guy. He seems to know what's going down. Let's talk about our experiment, guys.
Yep.
Let's ask Steve what's happened. Steve, BT, what's going on last couple of days? What's going on? What's happening?
Is it gone down because they've paid out their dividends?
Yeah, well, they haven't paid out yet. We were up to about 314, 316. Our target is about 336 for our third trade. In 1,000 to 100,000 in 50 trades or less. And it's called ex-dividend date. So that was on the 10th of this week. And so BT are paying out, I don't know how much, billions.
10p.
Is it 10p?
Yeah. Is it? 10.55p.
10.55p. So if you go to BT and how many shares are going to issue? 9.9 billion. Wow. Mm. So times that by 10 pence. What's that?
900 million.
Yeah, so they're paying out 900 million. So Essentially, yeah, so you can look there. It's about this, the full dividend and interim. It's about 5% overall. That's the interim and the full dividend. And the full one on its own is about 3%. So it drops around about 3% on ex-dividend day. That means it's the date on which they exclude the dividend. They value the company excluding the dividend pretty much. And obviously, because that has to come off their balance sheet, and you have to be invested on that date in order to get the dividend payment on September 10th, pretty much, around about the same time, a month later.
We're factoring in the dividend into our 10% rise, aren't we?
Yes. Well, no, I think we'll get to... I think this will shoot past. It's a bullish broker note I read recently on, I don't know, on BT. And they had a target there of 390, actually a target of 450. So I think we'll breeze past 336. So that'll be our 10%, and then we get that dividend as well. So, it's just, you know, all we need is for Trump and Fatboy Kim not to start World War III off before we complete this one. Because maybe we should email them, Steve, or something.
Mm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Are they BT customers, are they?
I don't know. Just, I don't know what Kim's... what's Kim? Do you think Kim does emails? Kim Jong-un.
No, he probably got someone to do that for him, didn't he?
Yeah, kim@northkorea.com. Kim, Fatboy Kim, @northkorea.com. If he did, I imagine he hammers the keyboard with his two index fingers when he's typing.
Yeah. It's a pity he's not on Twitter, actually, isn't it? Because he could have quite a good Twitter spat.
He would be, wouldn't he be arguing with people? I'd drop bombs on you! You're right.
I'd bomb near you.
Where you live, because we can now build bombs to take you out in Denver, Colorado. We can build bombs on that far.
He can't speak English, though, can he? So that'd be
I've never met him.
Translation.
It'd be funny if you're from somewhere with... Because as yet, they haven't got bombs to reach most... They can reach America, can't they? But parts of America, I think... where is it? Parts of... is it the West Coast, I think? I think so. But if you lived in a place that you couldn't quite reach... Where you live, I'll drop a bomb on you. I live here. Oh, we can't shoot one that far yet. In 6 months' time, I can drop a bomb on you.
But surely, he's saying these missiles can hit like the outer skirts of America. But surely...
Outer skirts?
Steve likes very much an outer skirt.
But surely we'll see the missile. They'll see the missiles come in and shoot them down before they even arrive anyway.
I don't know how easy it is to shoot down missiles.
I'm not sure. Yeah,
because they're traveling very fast, aren't they? And it's not easy. And
if you set the films,
if you're going to shoot, if you're going to shoot 1,000 missiles, to knock one down, you know, it's hard. It's like you imagine seeing 1,000 fish, you know, in a school, and you try and shoot one of them. Well, it's quite hard, isn't it? Or all of them. I don't know.
Old school, yeah. School of Wales. Yeah, whatever, yeah. Good. Talking about the experiment, just want to touch on next, because you boys kind of bottled it and you cancelled your orders.
We didn't bottle it. You were inefficient. Wow. You were inefficient. But I tell you what, it validates my pick, doesn't it? Eh?
What do you mean?
Well, that was the third one. So for people not aware of this, we had, 50 trades, £1,000, £100,000. We have to get 10% on each tray, roll it over. We started with EasyJet, got that. Sky, we've achieved more than 10% in both these. And the third one was Next, wasn't it? I said we put our limit orders in at £39.99. And I said, listen, it's been oversold, it's crazy here. They're going to get some kind of update, it'll be fine. And we put it in at £39.99. At the time, it was like £40. And all of a sudden, it started going £41, £42. And it's not going to get filled. Let's change it to something else. Let's change it to BT. And so Steve, unusually efficient, cancelled his limit order. I cancelled my limit order. You, Peter, just forgot about yours.
No, just changed my strategy.
And all of a sudden, before the results out, people had a bit of worry, started a bit of a sell-off. It came down, filled your order, the results came out, wasn't that bad. And I was shot up by 11% in one day, which is like unusual for, not many FTSE 100 stocks shoot up by 10% in one day, because that's several.
And they paid the dividend this week as well. So that's nice as well. So I 8% up and pay the dividends. So, it's going well. I don't know why you boys bottled it, because it was, I knew it was going to be a long term, long game, and it's come good.
Yeah, you knew that. I bet you did, yes. I don't know what did I tell you I bought recently Pets at Home? I bought them. They've been doing very well. I just think, pet shops, fine, isn't it? A big pet shop. You buy a pet from a pet shop. Which pet are you going to buy it from? Which shop? Hey.
I can't really think of any pet shops.
Well, Pets at Home. Pets at Home.
I'm joking. Pets at Home.
And also, I mentioned this to Steve last week. I said, unlike normal retail shops, which don't have big margins, Pets at Home do grooming. So you can go in there for a groom, Steve.
What? Animal grooming.
Yeah. It's not that kind of grooming. And also veterinary areas, which is obviously a good margin as well. And they've been oversold. I don't know why they've been so much oversold. I think it was people said there's competition from the internet and all this stuff. But, I went to Pets at Home yesterday. I was trying to explain to the boys there. We were buying some fish food for a frog. But I was trying to explain to we found a frog in the garden. And it was a baby frog, and we put a little tank for it. And I don't know what it needs, apart from... it said insects, but all the insects it suggested were bigger than this frog. It's tiny. But so we bought some fish food for it. But I tried to explain to the boys that I own shares in this company, boys. And Monty said...
Were you sort of walking down the aisle, it was like as if you owned the place?
Yeah, well, Monty did think... Monty, my youngest, who's four, did think... He said, me, Fred and Mummy as well. I said, well, they're my shares. He said, listen, what's mine is yours, and he said, so can we do we own this? He said, and he couldn't get his head. He said, I own the shop. So I don't really own the shop. I'm a small part of it, like that. So that bag of sweets over there,
dog food, like that.
That's it. So so that little castle you put in the goldfish bowl, I own that bit of it, pretty much. So he didn't really understand the concept, but it's always busy in there. I mean, people always buy stuff.
What an idiot! He doesn't understand shareholding at four. Come on.
Yeah, hopefully, once he gets to Steve's age, he'll know as much as Steve. If he's lucky, maybe it's just Steve. I'll ask Steve to explain it to him. So I don't understand what to... But I could also bought. I tell you what, some bigger stocks I'm looking for at the moment. I quite like utility wise. Now, check it out, guys. Check it out. It had a massive fall-off, UTW, right? And they procure energy for big companies, like, massive companies, like Asda and that. What they do, they've got Asda, listen, we'll take 20% off your bill because we have deals with the major suppliers and we can do all this. And they do this for a bit. And excellent cash flow. But they've gone from, if you look at the chart of UTW, utility-wise, they've, excellent. They throw a lot of cash off. They're a good cash-generative business. But they've been a bit too aggressive in their accounting policies, and they've got a contract for 5 years, and pretty much 80% of that they'll show on the signature of that contract. They'll show that as a, you know, pretty much there and then. But it's, they haven't received that, you know, and sometimes they won't receive all of that. So they've had to adjust that, and there's been problems with that in the past. But now they've taken a hammering because of that, and they've, because of this, they've changed their board. They've got a new CEO in, new CFO in, or COO thing. But it dropped recently, gapped down when they realised, oh, they've got to give back some of this profit to the thing, gapped down from a pound. But going back, what do they float at? But going back like 2016, they were like £2. They're now 61 pence, but they went down, what's the opening there? They went down to, what is it? 27 pence at one point. So their market cap is around about 50 million. Now they're going to be turning over this year 90 million. Right? They've got a gross margin about 35-38%. So I think a net margin about 25%. So if you do the math on that, if you say you work off 20%, let's say they turn over, let's say 80 million, right? So 10% profit there would be, you know, 8 million. 20%, 16 million. So do a PE of 10 on that. 160 million market cap. They're only valued at 50 million, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that say they're worth, you know, a pound at least. So yeah. At the moment, I bought some of the day, I put a limited order, I bought 62 pence, and I also put another limited order in it at 10% below. I bought some more, because it dipped down. I thought, ooh, will it go back down to three Tesla's lows at 37 pence? And I thought, do you know what? If it does, I'm prepared to average down there, all the way down to that, because it may get, there's lots of opportunity, you guys. I mean, I think before the results, they've got results coming out on the 24th, but I think before that comes out, I think there will be, you know, some doubt settling in. There's been a lot of change at the company. They are spending the dividend for a year. They go back to paying a dividend. So there's a lot of doubt in the company. But this is when doubt, you know, plays to the average investor. They're sold off so much at the moment. Like I said, yeah. You know, they got revenue, 80 to 90 million, you know, and they're in 40 million or 50 million market cap. So they're worth looking at. And,
yeah, their IPO price was like around where they are now, isn't it? 61p.
Yeah. And so it's a good stock that paid a dividend. It's a proper business that has been decimated in share price. And this is my strategy now. I'm nailing the thing. So I'm going to look at microcap stocks and good recovery plays. They're a good business. The cash generative, but good recovery plays, you know? And this is one of them, I believe.
You rushed through the whole thing. Why have they been sold off so much?
So, essentially, first and foremost, they're a good business, right, of procurement of energy for bigger companies. But they've had this sort of accounting policy. So, for example, let's say the contract you're signing for 5 years is worth, say, you know, 20 million, you know? So they'd reflect about, I think, how much of that? And they'd reflect a lot of that in the first sort of year. You know, they say, oh, we signed this or that. So they'd go on the profit and be taxed. And then all of a sudden, you know, the customer could cancel halfway through, or they could have consumed less energy than they thought, which is part of the way they bill people, because they work on revenue. And then obviously they have to pay things back all the time. So been this issue a couple of times. They've had to pay people back. So they've almost accounted for this profit. And then all of a sudden they've pay it back. And so now they've changed was from, the actual technical term is, they've gone from IFR to IF18 to IFR15 anyway. IFRS 15, revenue from contracts with customers. So now the revenue they actually achieve and report will be more in line with the cash flow, a lot more accurate. And they said they will suffer because they're not going to take a little bit. They've announced a profit warning, say between 4.5 to 5 million less revenue this year, which is, you know, I mean, on 80, 90 million, it's okay. So they've had all this issues going on. They've had a change in management to sort this out. In the meantime, the business is doing well. You know, if you look at the underlying business, it's still doing well. It's still double-digit sort of growth. It's just this worry about the accountancy, the accounting issues and all this stuff that's taken a knock on the share price. And also, once you start, people, it's like anything. Once selling starts, it begets selling, doesn't it? People start to worry about it. So you get private investors selling. So you get a couple of institutions worried because they've taken a bit of a hit on it. I've got to say, Star Fund Manager, what's his name? Alan Woodford. It's not Alan Woodford.
Neil.
Sorry, Alan. Nice to meet you, Alan. I've heard a lot about your stuff. It's Neil. All right. Neil. Okay, so I will, Neil. He owns 29% of the business. And he's taken a massive hit. Do you know what? I was just saying recently, if you look at good businesses and wait for almost a black swan event, it does happen in most businesses, you know? I mean, AstraZeneca, he's a big holder in that, taking a massive hit. He's a big holder of the tobacco companies, taking a massive hit. But he's almost AA. He took a massive hit because of, you know, Jeff was involved in what's called a Jerry Clarkson moment, apparently the executive chairman and CEO at this joint role.
Is that what went on?
Right. Yeah, he apparently hit someone, hit one of his employees in the bar or something, one of his managers. So he's sacked for gross misconduct. AA took a massive hit on that. And I think, hang on, the fundamentals are the same. So AA is another one we're looking at for our experiment. We also pay a dividend, and they can cover the dividend. So those kind of recovery plays, you know, that take a hit for no reason, but the business is, like, you know, pretty much intact. And utility-wise, the same. Okay, they suspend the dividend, but the business is pretty much intact, apart from issues around it. And so these are the plays I quite like. And Neil Woodford, you know, bought some more of you. After that scandal happened with AA, he bought some big chunk more, and it dropped again after he bought it. I thought, why doesn't he ask a Chartist, someone, to wait and, you know, time it a bit better? Because he does it quite often. He often buys his stocks, you know, on the back of bad news, and he buys some more, and then it goes down again. You think, what are you doing? Just wait for a chart to say, yeah, do you know what, lots of support here, buy here, and your money won't drop that much from here, you know? But he seems to be very good in the fundamentals, but doesn't care about the technicals, which I think, if you put those two together, technicals and fundamentals, you've got a better chance of, timing your investment better. Who am I to tell Neil Woodford, a multi-billion pound...
No, go on, email him.
A multi-billion pound asset manager, star fund manager of the city, that he doesn't know what he's doing. But he doesn't know what he's doing. It's like... He does know what he's doing, but, on a technical level... Timing, you can't time perfectly, I know, but you can time a lot better than he has been doing. So he's in the utility wise. It's one worth looking at, I think. Is there any other things worth discussing? Any stocks worth. Steve, any points worth raising? Did you buy a telly?
Yes, I did.
ADL, yes.
ADL,
Alan,
yeah.
Did you, Alan, ADL Green, talk about them on the podcast on Friday? In fact,
I haven't listened to that yet.
Ignore my podcast with Dave Whitby, the CEO. Go straight to Alan. ADL, did you sell any of yours, Steve? Because it went up by 60%.
No, I didn't in the end. I think I'm just going to hold on to it. Because although, even if I would have sold out then, I still would have been selling out a massive loss. So, I don't know. I think long term, I think I might stick with it.
I do think, you know what? They're talking about these. I've always said this, haven't I? Basically, huge potential there, especially from where they are at the moment. A market cap of 33 million. You know, they are in cahoots with Indonesia's, you know, state-owned gas, power, electricity people, all that, and they're doing this gas-to-power things. And I think it's got massive potential. Of course, it have, but they do need cash, not only operationally to keep the operation going at the moment, but also for a project level, for funding the project. They've got this partnership now with PT Energy, which is part of the state-owned things. But they've got to fund, I think, is it 51% or 49%? They're 49, 51% partner. But whatever it is, they've got to fund, you know, part of their side of it. So I'm thinking, I understand they're almost there, but there's got to be some fundraising going on here somewhere, sooner or later. And so I can't see it being at a premium. So it's almost like you can sit and wait. You can afford to sit and wait here. Wait till they get the fund in the ground. There'll be a spike that there was, and people will buy that spike ridiculously. But you realise they're not going to be producing here until 2019. There's plenty of time, you know, plenty of time. And when they've got funding, then I'd suggest it'll place, you know, they'll get the funding, it'll discount a little bit. Then I'd suggest a buy-in then, because that's when you know, they're going to keep the lights on and it's all going to go fine. But obviously, depending on how much funding they get. But they need funding, you know, still to go through to another year and a half, pretty much. So there's plenty of time. But that company does have a lot of potential if they do what they want to do. You know, of course, it can be. So it's one of the things. I mean, at the moment, it's the only thing holding them back, the risk and the reward. Same thing. A lot of risk there, also a lot of reward because of the risk, a little bit, you know. So. It's almost like saying, how can you play the game to get as much reward from as little risk? You know, that's what you need to do, really. I don't know what's happening to YOLO Friday. It's like down 14% on one trade. Literally, let's have a look. One sell trade of 275,000, which is not pounds of shares, and one buy trade. So essentially a net sell of 75,000 shares at 0.45 pence. What is that? It's nothing, is it? Let's have a look. 75,000. Do the math. Do the math here. Times 0.0. I'm terrible at things like this. When I say pennies and things, I can't work it out at all. Right. I have to get a calculator out. That's £337. That's all it is. It's gone down 14%. What's going on here? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes, I've never been a market maker conspiracy theorist, but sometimes I think they do a market down for some reason. They know something's coming. They'll market down to stop people selling for some reason. But I think your looks, they've taken a stake in magic media, haven't they? Which is maybe floating. And if that floats, that holding alone would be bigger than this market cap. YOLO, what's the market cap of YOLO? It's like 2 million. That's all it is.
1.99 million, yeah.
Yeah, did you buy your thing, Steve? Your Flybe I bought as well. It's doing quite well. Steve, did you buy your TV?
I did.
Wow, Steve bought a 65-inch TV.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
It doesn't actually look that big, if I'm honest.
Is it
in your house?
He's had to knock the wall down.
No,
of
it's
his,
in the garden, Pete.
Yeah. He's had to knock through from his living room to his kitchen just to make room for it. So it's taken the entire wall of his one house. But, yeah. And what price did you pay in the end, Steve? I don't want you to say that, actually. Cause people
I don't discuss money.
Yeah, only when you're losing on stocks and shares. Whereas that's a cracking investment. All right, guys, I better go because it's a Friday. I'm taking the kids out to see Despicable Me. I say that. They don't want to go. I do, but I'm dragging them with me.
You're despicable.
Yeah, anything else worth chatting about?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I'm done.
Don your wet my guam. Okay.
Right.
All right, then.
Yes, if we're still here this time next week, we'll speak then.
Yeah, all right. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Steve.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.